Hey there, welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I'm your host, John Spencer. I am a former middle school teacher. I'm a current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. And so that's what we talk about on this podcast, how to make that happen. I share some of the tips and tricks and strategies and blueprints, but I also tell stories and share some of those big epic fails that I have made along the way. And before we get started, I just want to tell you about a video series. If you go to my YouTube channel, it is spencervideos.com, and you will notice that there is a video series called Different from Day One. And the focus on this is to share innovative ideas, creative ideas that correspond to this podcast and to my blog. And I've been testing it out. I've been trying to do one video a week. They're somewhere between 10 to 20 minutes long. And this is my creative risk. This is me doing something different. And with that in mind, that's what we want to talk about, how to do something different, creative, and to use the beginning of the year as a mid-year reboot. So for me, as I think about this upcoming year, you know, I have a book coming out, Vintage Innovation, in a couple weeks, probably about 2 weeks from now. And I have a course that if you buy the book, you can get the course for free. I'm really excited about the course coming out. And I'll be finishing my doctorate. I'll be getting my doctorate sometime, graduating and becoming Dr. John, or as I like to call it, Dr. J, in April. So it's going to be a big year. And since about mid-November, I've been really focusing on eating right, eating healthy, and exercising. So I want to continue that and have that in a sense of momentum. But what I just mentioned was, again, if you think about that, on one hand, you had this idea of projects that I want to finish, things that have an end date, right? Get a doctorate, release a book, things like that. And then things that I really want to form as habits. And that's part of what I want to talk about today, is this idea of forming habits, but also setting goals and accomplishing things. And I really think that the middle of the year, the middle of the school year, the beginning of the calendar year can be a time for what I call a mid-year reboot. So let's take a dive into it. It's the beginning of the year, and I keep hearing conversations about New Year's resolutions. You know, you have that friend who's going paleo, which is not entirely paleo. Like, let's be real. If you're making paleo milkshakes, that's not paleo, because like cave people didn't have blenders last time I checked. And other people are doing CrossFit, which is so much more extreme than me. You know, there's like they get fanatical about CrossFit, and I'm almost jealous of that, because it's so cool. Then you have, you know, someone who's deciding to read like 100 books in a year. And I think that's totally doable as a goal, right? Like, if you include graphic novels and audiobooks, totally you can hit that 100 book mark. In fact, I'd probably add some picture books just to make it a little bit easier. But the bottom line is this, that January is a time for fresh starts. The darkest days of winter are already over. You know, sometime in late November, the sun started to slowly set a little bit later than it had in the past. Even though it's really cold here where I live in Salem, Oregon, and it's about the coldest time of year, this is a chance to do something different. And I mention this with the acknowledgement that the teacher calendar is a little bit different. For most of us, January is a mid-year point. We're halfway through the marathon of teaching. Even after winter break, you're likely feeling a little bit tired, and that's okay. For all the peppy feel-good memes on social media about getting excited, about jumping back into teaching, it's okay to feel a little bit haggard right now. This job is physically, mentally, and emotionally draining, even when you love it. I work at the university now. I'm a professor, but I taught for 12 years, and I can tell you, teaching is tiring, and it's especially tiring when you're in the K-12 system. You know, when I taught middle school, I sometimes remember feeling like, gosh, this is tough. But it's also a chance to do this mid-year reboot. It's a chance to take a creative risk. And some of the most innovative current classroom teachers I know are using this mid-year point as an opportunity to spark creativity and bring in a revived energy at the halfway point. All right, so what does this mid-year reboot actually look like? It's a chance to take a creative risk, to transform your practice, to pilot a new project, to do something that allows you to dream big. It's a chance to try something entirely new, but it's also a chance to revise and tweak and change things. It's a chance to get rid of things. All of that is part of this mid-year reboot. When I taught middle school, I would always choose one area where I could either change my practice or pilot something new. It's a tradition that I'm continuing to do as I move into the university level. Instead of trying to do a massive overhaul, I focus on my one thing that I either want to pilot or change. And so I'm going to ask some reflective questions that can sort of help you with this idea of the mid-year reboot. And I want to point out that for me, as I think about the mid-year reboot, one of the things that I'm seriously considering is to make sure that, you know, I don't do a lot of direct instruction in the classes that I teach, but I want to try something where I will do my direct instruction in the form of videos. I've gotten really into making videos, and I'm thinking if I can do a weekly video where I can, instead of spending 15 minutes doing direct instruction, I can narrow it down into a 7-minute video and sort of do a flip style, but I'll still, show the video to the entire class. That could be a really, fun thing to pilot. So that's my mid-year reboot. But the first reflective question is, what is one goal you want to accomplish? So this is what I want us to think about. Remember how I said that sometimes there's process or habits, and sometimes there's finished products when it comes to goals. And so with the new year coming up, there's a good chance that you've come up with a New Year's resolution or a series of them. And like the way we set goals tends to be focused on a tangible product. Run a marathon, write a novel, lose a certain number of pounds. You get the idea. And while there's nothing wrong with these types of goals, there's another type of goal that's also important, which is process goals. These are the goals that allow us to develop habits and rituals that we stick with for not just an entire year, but for hopefully a lifetime. This is what I mean by process versus product. Product goals focus on the destination, while process goals focus on the journey. Product goals focus on the short term, but process goals focus on the long term. Process goals are project oriented, while process goals are designed to build habits. Product goals tend to stick with really firm deadlines, but process goals are more focused on routines. Product goals define success by the completion of a great work, but by contrast, process goals define success as growth in one's skills and ability. Now, what does this mean? What does this look like? Well, if your goal involves running, a product goal might be finishing a marathon, while the process goal might be committing to run for 45 minutes a day. Notice it's not even about how many miles you run. It's just I'm making the habit of 45 minutes a day. If you're a writer, a product goal might be publishing a novel, while a process goal might be making a daily habit of writing 500 words per day, or saying, you know, half an hour a day I'm going to devote to writing. Now, I want to point out that neither approach is wrong. Both product goals and process goals are important for success. We need to finish projects and we need to build lasting habits. For the longest time, though, I focused only on product-oriented goals and I missed out on a lot of things. I would plow through the project and I didn't enjoy the journey. I would get really stressed and I would procrastinate if I was, it wasn't even procrastinating. You know how you procrastinate and you feel that stress and all that kind of stuff about meeting the deadline? I would do that, but I would do that for self-imposed deadlines. I would set really strict deadlines. It was a really bad habit. So my goal became, you know, I want to set fewer product goals. Now, I will still set product-oriented goals, but I want to set process-oriented goals as well. I really want to focus on making sure that I'm setting those goals and sticking to them and building valuable habits. So that is the first idea, is this key concept of, you know, setting a goal for the year. You know, what is your goal for the year? And with that in mind, is it going to be a process goal or a product goal? And you may decide to set both a product goal and a process goal. But in the classroom, it might be that, you know, I want to set a goal of doing this one particular thing that I'd love to do that. But it might be saying, as a classroom teacher, I want to build this particular habit. And again, either of those goals for the mid-year reboot are totally valid. All right. Reflective question number two is, what is your one word or mantra for the school year or for the rest of the school year? And every year, I try to choose a single word to guide my focus. I'm not sure where I heard about this one word concept. I'm sure it was some viral thing on social media, but I love it. One year, it was enough. That was my one word. It was a reminder that I am enough, I've done enough, I don't need to keep striving endlessly. See, I had this moment where I, quote, broke up with busy, right? I had been wearing busy like a badge of honor, and I began to say, I have to do something different. This has to change. And so that fall, I want to say it was around probably November, I broke up with busy. And that became really, really hard for me with the start of the year and my own mid-year reboot. And I began dreaming up these new things I wanted to do. And so I made my mantra or my one word enough. And I actually wrote it on a note card. I put it on my desk. I looked at it frequently. And it became this thing I would say to myself, enough, enough. And sometimes I would actually make it a mantra, you are enough, or you've done enough. Enough is okay. Things like that, as I would, you know, feel guilty about not doing enough. And this was a real challenge for me. Another year, I chose the word present. I found myself focused on projects and goals, and I was missing out on my students. I was obsessed with accomplishing the tasks on my to-do list. But this was a reminder that I needed to be present with my students in the moment. So present was my one word. Now, other years, I didn't choose a word. I chose a mantra. One year, I wrote, be bold, but be humble on a note card. And it was my reminder to myself to speak up, to share what I believe, to not be afraid to share my beliefs and convictions, but also to do so in a way that is humble. I can sometimes get bullheaded and challenging and difficult. And it was a reminder for myself to build bridges rather than burning bridges with my beliefs. Another reflective question is, what is one thing you want to ditch? It may be that you want to do addition by subtraction. Maybe you need to quit a committee that doesn't bring any sense of joy or purpose to your life, and that's a valid concern, right? It may be that certain expectations that people have of teachers that aren't requirements, but they're sort of vague expectations, and you want to abandon that. I remember the day that I quit late night emails. My wife and I both set a curfew for email. We couldn't check our phones or computers after 6 o'clock. That was the rule. Now, this proved so hard for me that I actually plugged in both my smartphone and my computer, and I would charge them up at 6 o'clock, and I actually left them in the bedroom to charge because I couldn't trust myself to not check email. It was that bad. It might be something that you're doing for students that they could be doing for themselves. For example, you might want to pilot self-assessment and peer assessment and spend less time grading. This not only increases student ownership, but it frees up your time as a teacher so that you can meet with students one-on-one and spend more time designing lessons and projects. I have a 20-minute peer feedback system that I use. You can check it out on the blog post that corresponds to this, but similar idea. You know, you could have students doing more of that and spend less time, doing the grading yourself. Now, perhaps it's a classroom practice that you've wanted to ditch, but you're not sure is entirely helpful. You might decide to take the next quarter and try abandoning reading logs or see if students lose interest in reading if they don't have to do reading logs. Or maybe you might ditch homework. If that's not feasible, you might make it optional instead. There's a lot of research suggesting that homework is actually not all that helpful. And, you know, what happens if you ditch that practice? You might ditch, there's so many different opportunities of things that you could ditch if you wanted to. And so that's the core idea. You know, what might you abandon? It might be something that you hand off to students that you don't particularly love. I remember doing, what were they? Bulletin boards. And I hated doing bulletin boards. Now, I love art. You can probably tell. I love making sketch videos. I love painting. I love drawing. But bulletin boards, I'm not very crafty, if that makes sense. And I just hated doing that. And they were this thing that we were expected to update at least once a month. And it was a pain in the butt. And so I finally was like, you know what? I'm going to have students make the bulletin boards. That was easy for me. Like, I don't know why it was such a challenge. But I just gave it up and said, all right, you know what? Students can do this instead. And you know what? They can. The next question is, what is one thing you want to redesign? You might redesign your classroom procedures. You might want to streamline your structures and systems in your classroom. I love using UX design, so you could do like an audit of the assignments that you give or the slideshows that you create. And ask yourself, am I using consistent language? Am I using templates with consistent visuals? Is there clarity? Could I create areas for student feedback on this? Again, I have a sketch video if you're interested on UX design. If you want to take a dive into it, there's a longer hour. I think it's like, it's about 45-minute video as well. But maybe you want to use UX design to redesign some area of your class. It could be the classroom space that you want to redesign. You want to test out flexible learning spaces and things like that. The next question is, what is one creative risk that you want to take? And this is actually the final question. What is that big creative risk you want to take? What is your moonshot idea? Maybe you want to do a Maker Monday challenge each Monday, or maybe you want to do a divergent thinking mini projects. Maybe you want to do a Wonder Day project or a Wonder Week project. Maybe you want to do Genius Hour. Maybe you want to do content curation or student blogging or STEM projects or Scratch video game projects. Or perhaps you want to pilot Socratic circles or film documentaries or record podcasts. If you want to do any of those things, you know, the mid-year is a great chance to try something new. And the key thing here is to treat it as an experiment. It might work, it might fail, but ultimately you will learn from that experience. I actually keep a note card at my desk that reads, "It could fail." This was one of my mantras that I did one of those years during my own mid-year reboot. And it's a reminder to myself to treat all projects as experiments, to think of it as it's sort of a get out of perfectionist jail free card that I can use. And it's a reminder that it's okay if things don't go perfectly. It's okay if I try something and the experiment fails, because it's about the journey. It's about the learning. It's about the growth that happens. Maybe you want to find a creative way to affirm your students. Maybe you want to create a new club or after school activity. There's all kinds of different things that you can do. But the bottom line is that you can take a creative risk and to treat this mid-year point as a fresh start. This mid-year reboot is a chance to pilot something new and to transform your practice. It's an opportunity to take a creative risk and to do something different. It's a chance to abandon something that you didn't want to do. It's a chance to come up with that one word or phrase that you will use to remind yourself of what matters. So go for it. Use this moment, this day, this week, this opportunity in the mid-year as a chance to innovate in your own space. Now, I would love to see you share your ideas. If you want to tell me your mid-year reboot, please feel free to do that. You can check out the blog post that corresponds to this. It is spencerauthor.com/reboot. And I would love for you to just share your mid-year reboot with me. I would love to know how it's going. It would be a blast. So thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day and go out and make something awesome.